Hey guys, welcome back. This is Kyle King and Lauren King here with the Kings of Fitness Strength Talk Podcast, episode number 4. This is going to be all about exposing those squat myths. Hey guys, Kyle King here, sitting right across from my lovely wife, Lauren King.
Hi guys.
And today we just wanted to really touch base. We have 8 squat myths. We pulled an article by Coach Rob Wagner from USA Powerlifting talking about 8 squat myths that he was finding. So we're going to give our spin on it. We want to talk a little bit about it. You'll see that article. We'll have it posted in the show notes, so you can follow that right along. I'll put up some information at our website, www.kofhv.com. You can check the Strength Talk blog. We'll have links to the article over at usapowerlifting.com. That being said, quick side notes. Kings of Fitness, we're interested in beginning a barbell club right up here in the Poughkeepsie, Wappinger Falls area. Hopewell's up here too. Fishkill's up here.
Dutchess County.
We'll
encompass all of these.
We'll encompass Dutchess County. I like that. We're interested in a barbell club. If you're interested in doing something like that, what the barbell club entails is teaching you. We're going to coach athletes alike. Everybody's an athlete. If you want to learn how to squat better, deadlift better, military press better, bench press better, you're interested in seeing what a clean and jerk looks like, you want to know how to snatch better, anything, just have coach's eyes on, give us a call, 260-786-5631. That's a direct hotline number to Kings of Fitness. Tell us you're interested, or you can contact us through the social medias, the Twitter, Instagram. What else is there? Facebook. There's so many different methods to contact us. We'll have all that stuff in the show notes. We want you to contact us. Let us know if you're interested in a barbell club. It's something I'd be looking to do weeknights in teaching athletes how to lift better. Okay, and by athletes, I mean everyone. If you're interested in figuring out what that barbell can do for you, I want you to give us a call. So getting that out of the way, you go over to www.kofhv.com, sign up for the newsletter. We sent out our first official newsletter last Wednesday, and we're going to keep sending. Yes. It's going to be a weekly newsletter every Wednesday, right?
Correct.
All right, so every Wednesday, weekly newsletter, and in that newsletter, what do you find?
Get a pro tip of the week.
Like that.
You also get a healthy meal of the week.
Like that as well. So some fitness information out there to help you guys, you know, stay on track, because we know, like we talked about in podcast episode number 1, we were talking a lot about those New Year's resolutions and fitness goals and how to accomplish them. We got to stay on track. We're coming to the end of January now, and we really want to make sure that everything's going the way it should be going. Like, the scale should be going in the right direction. The amount of weights that you're lifting should be going in the right direction. So stay on top of that kind of stuff. Follow us on those social medias. That's the best way to get in contact with us, besides that phone number, which was 260-786-5631. The social medias, what do we have? I don't even know. There's so many. There's
Facebook.
Yeah.
Instagram.
Okay.
YouTube.
Yeah, there's a YouTube channel. You can check us out on YouTube. What else? There's other stuff. There's a
Twitter.
Did we say Twitter?
No.
Okay, so Twitter. You can follow us on Twitter. But really want to use those outlets to ask questions. So ask questions. Give us comments back on, you know, stuff that you want to hear on the podcast, stuff that you want to see on the blog. If you just have a question, any question. You know, Lauren and I were talking to a friend of ours. His name's Tony. Tony's a high school wrestling coach.
Yes.
And he was doing some deadlifting, Romanian deadlifting, Russian deadlifting, and he had asked a couple questions about form, and he did the smartest thing in the world. He videotaped himself doing it and sent me the video and asked me what I thought, and I gave him my coach's opinion for lifting that barbell. I said, hey, you know, it looks like this. This looks good. That looks good. You're locking your back out, or you're not locking your back out. Watch rounding in the shoulders. Don't watch it. You know, but it was a visual for us to look at and say, you know, this is how you should do it. So he's listening to the podcast, and by him listening to the podcast, maybe you should be listening to it too. Tell a friend, anything, everything. We're looking for all and every ear that we can get. And Lauren's laughing at me. But just a little plug there. You know, share the podcast with everyone, please. We want to get this information out. It's free. It's a free podcast. I think all podcasts are. I don't know. But this one's free, and we want the information is free, so we want to get it out there. All right, so that being said, any other notes, Kings of Fitness notes you want to talk about? You good to go?
Well, I mean, we don't have those social media set up only for questions. I mean, we are more than welcoming to all of your questions, but even just checking it out, if you're looking for, you don't know what to make for dinner. I'm always posting different recipes on my Instagram, or if you're looking for an exercise to add into your workout, or you're wondering what you can do, Kyle and I are always posting videos of us doing different exercises. So even just to get an idea of not only an exercise, but how to do it correctly.
Yes. And you'll see exactly on those social medias, we are posting videos of what we're doing training wise, whether it be Olympic lifting training or squatting or deadlifting. You see a lot of what we're doing. And we also try out new fitness products, which I'm happy to announce. Very happy to announce. I did get my Mark Bell slingshot in the mail. I tested it out. I'm waiting. I'm very excited for chest day. I had to give it a test, although it wasn't chest day yesterday. I gave it a test. I posted a video. I was doing doubles at 315 pain-free. Shoulders felt great. I was very excited for it. And we got to make a correction from podcast number 3. They do make female slingshots.
Kyle lied to me.
I found them. It's under on the website. It was a different link. It was a different menu button there. You had to click women. So there is a very nice pink slingshot for smaller individuals, women in general. So it's out there. We're going to get one for Lauren so she can be using that slingshot as well. Throwing it. I mean, the shoulder. I got to say, those shoulders, man, it was great. It's fantastic. No pain. No pain, no gain.
Hey, that's right? Important.
Anything else?
I think we're good to get into the myths here.
Okay, so going right into it, the myths, right? The myths of squatting. The first myth, and let me mention this, the article again is written by, I don't even know if I mentioned this, but Coach Rob Wagner. Okay, Coach Rob Wagner, USAPowerlifting.com is where I pulled this one off of. There are many articles out there. I like this one. One, because it's the USAPowerlifting.com is a reputable website, number one. Number two, there's when you get down to the nitty-gritty of any article, look at the references. It's just like if you were in school. If you can see an article where there's a tremendous amount of references, it's not like every reference might be great. You know, you can always question things, which is cool. But at the same time, you know that somebody's doing their homework, or at least attempting to do their homework. So getting right into it, myth number one, squatting is bad for your knees. I got to laugh at that because we hear it so often. Like, somebody's always going to look at you and tell you that squatting is bad for your knees.
Yes. It's funny because people fail to realize that simple motion of getting up from a chair
is a squat. Yeah.
It's a squat.
Getting up off the floor is a squat. It's a fundamental motion that we make all the time. I would say, in turn, to squatting hurts your knees. I think not squatting is what hurts your knees. Yeah. You know, squatting improperly hurts your knees.
Correct.
There's a lot of bad stuff going on there where people have these muscle imbalances because they haven't built their bodies correctly. You haven't built the system, the lower chain, the posterior chain, to do what it should do in keeping you balanced and keeping you supported. And the knee joint is one of those supported joints. So if you're not squatting properly, or you're not squatting, I don't even know how to, like, I'm just so flabbergasted here by squatting hurts your knees. But it's, you know, my phone's buzzing now. People calling and asking questions. Calling and asking questions about previous podcasts. But I got to say, do it properly and you'll never have to worry about it. It stabilizes the knee joints. Squatting stabilizes the knee joints.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hands down. And then they mentioned in the article, and I thought this was a nice thing to say, when you squat with the full range of motion, you protect your ACL. And you see that so prevalent today. So many people having these ACL tears, athletes having these ACL tears. You know, full squats get you full results. Half squats get you half results. So it's out there. It's nomenclature. You know, do it right. Do it proper. And if you don't know what right looks like, ask. Shoot a video of yourself. Send it to us. We'll take a look at it. I have no problem taking a look at it and telling you. But that leads us into number two. You'll hear myth number two is, when you perform the squat, just bend your knees and go down. I think that is terrible.
It is.
That is terrible advice. And that is I'm glad this is called the myths, you know, exposing squat myths. So everything that we say, number one, number two, is going to be wrong or, you know, fake. So the idea of the squat, when I load that weight on my back, I have to hip hinge. Mm-hmm. That's the big motion there. I hip hinge first, and as I start to move my hips vertically – So I push back, move vertically. As I start to sit down, like Lauren was talking about in Myth 1, you start to sit down into that chair, towards that chair, your knees will automatically bend.
Correct.
Hips go first. Concentrate on the hips. Concentrate on leading with the chest. So keeping the chest up, the head up. I don't want you looking up towards the ceiling. You don't want to change that structure that you have in your cervical spine by looking up. We keep it a nice neutral spine. So keep the chest up, lead with the chest, and let the hips sit. The knees will bend with it. It goes automatically. It's kinesiology. It's just going to happen. So big thing for myth number two, I would say lead with your chest, and that'll correct everything there. Now, if you find yourself with your chest pointed at the floor, you're doing a good morning. Squat's done. You're no longer. And that goes right into myth number three. And if you hear turning pages, and it's because we have show notes. We do have show notes. We are pretty organized when it comes to it. It may not sound like it because we start going off on tangents and doing different things, but we do have show notes. So myth number three, squatting is bad for your back. And like I said, if you're handling those heavy loads and your chest is pointed at the floor, you're no longer squatting. You're doing a good morning. So if you're doing that good morning, you're using the wrong muscles. You're using those postural muscles, which rotators are included in the postural muscles. But you're using postural muscles to do something that they're not designed to do. And that's why you start hurting your lower back. So if you find yourself not leading with the chest, it does become a little bit of a problem. But maybe you loaded that bar too heavy in the first place. Technique, 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 right? I'd say, how do we do it? We do it, you know, explain something like when you go in with your client who can't squat properly, what do you do with them to help them learn to squat properly?
I mean, one, and it's kind of silly, but I mean, imagine yourself going to a porta potty as a female, right? Nobody actually wants to sit on that toilet. So you're automatically putting yourself into that squatting position just by envisioning and remembering yourself going into this porta potty. So something as silly as that, just to give somebody a visual cue, can kind of help them to get into the correct position.
Mm. Now, if they have the muscle imbalances, so I'm going to play devil's advocate here. If they have those muscle imbalances that prevent them from squatting properly, what would you do? You know, like what's the cue for you and your athletes when they're going down and like trying to get down and you see their chest dropping? What are you doing with them to get them to sit properly and really get into that squat?
I mean, you can have them turn their toes out slightly, remind them to push their butt back, to keep their chest up.
And that's the thing, is like you look for these cues, and that's why, you know, working with a coach is super important for us if you don't know what's going on. And Lauren kind of touched on myth number four already with the toes. But when we see those athletes, my thing is when I see an athlete get underneath the bar, there's two things that we do. First, we get plates underneath their feet, underneath their heels, that we take a little bit off their calves. So it's like wearing an Olympic lifting shoe, but at the same time, it's not as great. But it alleviates that pressure that you get from the calf muscle being too strict. So I can find little problems in squats just by saying, okay, your calves are tight. So we take the calves out of the equation. Sometimes they sit better. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes it's a tightness in the chest or a tightness in the latissimus dorsi that we find problems in that's pulling them down. You know, there's a whole movement assessment that we go into before we even make somebody squat. But still, people get on the bar and it looks totally terrible and problematic. So we do give them these coaching cues. That's why people do come to see us. And again, that's why we wanted to start going back to the beginning. We want to start a barbell club here in Poughkeepsie, Wappinger Falls area, Dutchess County area, to really teach people how to do the proper movements. And we're actually breaking into the high schools a little bit around here. We're going to teach proper movements in high schools to high school age kids, middle school age kids, that just make it available, make the knowledge available so that they're not hurting themselves. So again, three goes along with it. It's not going to hurt your back if you squat properly. So notice how everything turns back to you have to squat properly, which is pretty cool. The toe issue that Lauren talked about, which is really, I think, a big one. You'll hear it a lot. I heard it a lot when we were doing our time in the Globo gyms when we were working there. Everybody always said you had to point your toes straight and squat. Now, me personally, I don't know how many people I've ever seen perform an actual squat with their toes straight and get ass to grass. right? Like that full range of motion squat.
I've ever seen it.
So Coach Rob Wagner, in his amazing experience with powerlifting, he mentions in his article that in his experience, he's only seen less than 5% of the people he's worked with over the course of his career. That being said, we've learned in our studies in kinesiology and exercise science that when you squat, you can have anywhere from a rotation of your toes 0 to 30 degrees. Now, when you rotate your feet, the science behind this is when you rotate your feet, you're changing the head of your femur and how it sits in your hip. So, not to be too crazy here, but your femur may be, that upper thigh bone may be that limiting factor in how far you sit. So if you could turn your toes out slightly, I'm not saying look like a duck or do the sumo deadlift or anything crazy like that, but 0 to 30 degrees, you turn your toes out, and you might sit deeper.
Yeah. I mean, just trying it out for myself, you know, a couple years ago now, I was really never able to squat that deep until I did start to turn my toes out slightly.
And that's a cool thing, and we talked about in podcast number, I believe it was podcast number 3, where we were talking about Kelly Starrett, How to Be a Supple Leopard.
Mm-hmm.
Great book to pick up, but Kelly Starrett is, in my world, and in our world, is big into mobility. So we're big into mobility, whether it be shoulder mobility, hip mobility, ankle mobility, knee mobility, you know, cervical spine mobility. We look at mobility across different joints. When you don't have the proper hip mobility, it becomes difficult to squat. You have to stretch better. You have to get, like, we sit a lot as people today. So we have tight hip flexors, which means everything posterior is loose. It's lengthened. So we're dealing with these long length tension relationships, posterior muscles, which we can't, it becomes very difficult to engage in those muscles. And this is where those muscle imbalances take over. We start talking about, you know, not being able to do something posturally because we don't have the structure to do it anymore. Like, we made our bodies inefficient because we sit in chairs, and then we're not doing the correct stretches. You know, I'm going to hit you with a tangent, and then we'll go to a break because I want to hit this tangent. I thought this was very smart, and maybe it's going to be in a – I think we should do a future podcast on this. But there is such a debate about should you stretch before you exercise and before you go into any movement and do all this stuff. And I read this article, and I got to find the guy who wrote it, and I thought it was genius because I wish I wrote it. But he started talking about, should you stretch before you do something, whatever exercise you're going to do, whether you're going to run or you're going to lift weights? Yes, you should. Know what the antagonist muscle group that's going to prevent you from being successful in your lift is and stretch it, because it shuts down the muscle function. When you stretch, everybody's all worried about, okay, if I go to do a squat and I stretch my quad, you know I got to use my quads to get off the floor. If I weaken it, I'm not going to have the power to do it, blah, blah, blah. And I say, great, but your hip flexor is a limiting factor in that squat, where if that hip flexor, like most of us have tight hip flexors, anteriorly rotated hips, our hips sit a little bit forward. When most of us have that kind of problem, stretch the hip flexor before you squat. You're going to see an immediate growth in the weight that you can handle squatting, which I think is a very big thing. So again, future podcast, we're going to take a break, but future podcast, we're going to talk about that stretching stuff. So let's take a quick show break. We're going to come back with myths 5 through 8, and I'm sure Lauren's touched on all of them already in some of her explanations. See you in a second. You're listening to Strength Talk with Kyle and Lauren King of Kings of Fitness. Make sure to check us out on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram to see the latest and greatest things that are happening. So if you listen this long, you already heard the first 4 myths and our explanations, our layman's term explanations, which are not going to be as in-depth and great as Coach Rob Wagner's USA Powerlifting, but you can find the article, go over to our blog, www.kofhv, check out our blog. We're going to have a link to that actual article and some of the stuff that we talked about today, why you should be squatting and things like that. So myth number 5, what is it, Lauren?
Squats are for the quads.
Are they? That's it. If it's a myth, it's got to be wrong.
Well, yeah, that's what makes it a myth.
Thank you, Sherlock. We're doing some deep discovery today. So, it is a lower chain exercise, right? So,
yes.
When you squat, you're going to be doing a little bit of everything. You're going to get, if you have a great squat day, what hurts? That's all you got to think about.
Not just your quads.
Everything.
Your glutes.
Yeah.
Your hamstrings.
Yep.
Your adductors.
Yep. So you're sitting back, and I'm like, okay, so hearing people talking about, oh, I don't want my quads to get too big, I don't want to squat, I'm like, well, again, you're getting up and down from chairs, you're getting in and out of cars all day, so you're doing these squats. I say prepare yourself, and this is now another injury thing, where prepare yourself not to be injured by keeping your lower chain strong, you know, and it's not just, it's full body exercise, that squat, so I don't know why I keep referring it to it as lower chain, but you'll sit back, and you really support those postural muscles when you squat, you know, getting that good cage around with your core, strengthening in the core with the squat. Again, a great exercise for everyone, especially our athletes and anybody, you know, aspiring to be an athlete or continue their athletic careers. It's a very, very big, strong core thing. So when I look at it and you hear these people and they'll talk to you and they'll tell you, ah, oh, my quads are, I'm good, I don't want my quads to be any bigger. You got to kind of sit back and say, guys, let's be serious, you know. You don't want to squat for other reasons, that's fine. Or you don't want to squat and lift heavy weights or something, I don't know. But that'll take us right into myth number 6. What do you got? Show notes.
The myth is that when you're doing a squat, the actual placement of the bar does not matter.
Okay. So we talk about this because we like the different variations of the squats. We do all sorts of variation squats. Our beginners, they start out with the goblet squats, actually. Mm-hmm. Because and that goes back to if you can't squat properly with the bar on your back, we start you out with exercises, whether it be a kettlebell or a dumbbell. But we put the kettlebell dumbbell in front of you, have you hold it in a goblet form, and take those squats because it keeps your chest up. So we're teaching individuals from the get-go, step number one, teach them to keep their chest up, fight with their legs, fight with their lower chain, and I'm talking about every muscle in their leg, to keep structural integrity throughout the motion. So when we talk about bar placement is super important because the lower the bar, I believe the lower the bar, the more pressure you'll have on the hamstring, and then the higher the bar, if you have a high bar placement, and
it also goes into your torso length.
Yes.
So it talks about someone having a long torso and short legs. It's saying that if you have the bar positioned lower, it actually takes a lot of the work out of your lower back.
Yes. And then it was, now I remember what it is. I was taught high bar placement, less pressure on knees. Lower bar placement, and not like bad pressure. We're not talking something that's going to kill your knees. But the lower the bar placement, the more hamstring that you got to get. Because you're changing the levers, right? You have a shorter lever, which is going to put more force. You're coming up off the ground, so you're going to have more force in that posterior chain. So the glutes are going to be working regardless, but you'll put more pressure by dropping the bar a little bit lower on the back. But again, you have to be prepared to handle that load where it goes. So if you have it lower on your back and you can't squat properly with it lower on your back, guess what? Take the weight down.
Right.
You know, you don't have to be a hero at 500 pounds to start. You know, everybody works towards something, and that's where your training program should kick in. And that's important, is most mistakes when you're dealing with such a technical lift can hurt you. So should you be fearful of getting hurt by doing something properly? No. But should you be afraid of getting hurt if you're doing something improperly? Of course. That just makes sense, right? Like, I could do anything incorrectly and I could get hurt. If I threw a baseball wrong or swung a bat wrong, you know, I could hurt myself. So just like that, you take that attitude into the weight room and know that if you handle the barbell wrong, it could hurt you, yes. So don't do it. Do it right. And if you don't know how to do it right, I suggest getting with a coach, hiring a coach, somebody who has eyes on and can tell you how to do it right. And with that being said, not everybody knows how to do it right. We spent, again, combined 20 some odd years in the training field, and we learn something new every day, and learning something new every day has kind of opened our eyes to how things can be done properly. So everybody has different DNA, right? No two people squat the same. And I got to say, earlier in my career, so for me especially, earlier in my career as a personal trainer, as I'm working, you know, I would try to get everybody to fit a certain mold. And as I grew as a strength coach and started learning a little bit more about how I want to conduct my business and how I'm going to get people to react to the training that I was providing them, I realized, you know, everybody's DNA is different. So everybody's going to do everything different. Now, the thing is to have them do it safely, grow, get stronger for themselves. And we're able to accomplish that on a daily basis now, which is a great thing. So, again, if you're having problems, you know, coaching, coach's eye is always a great thing to do. Excuse me. Going into myth number 7. I'm going to let Lauren take this one.
So the myth here is that squats will make your butt big. I hear this all the time. I see this all the time, especially on all social media. All these women, and I'm not making fun or anything like that, but they're under the impression that in order to have a big butt, you have to squat. Guess what? If you don't have the DNA or the genes to have a big butt, no matter how often you squat or how much you squat, is not going to make a difference.
I'd say you have a better chance of wearing high heels for 8 hours a day and making your butt appear to be bigger than you do by squatting. Yeah. And the reason I say that is because that big butt pronouncement and having that look is usually a shift in your hips. So when you look at people, and this is, again, this is that corrective exercise guy in me. When I see those, when I see the people, like, just talking about, oh, I like how this looks and this, that, the other, I can see such a shift in the hips that I'm like, wow, you really should work on correcting that. You got to go to your chiropractor, or, you know, you got to go see a physical therapist and work on some other exercises, because there's a severe muscle imbalance there. Now, squatting to make your butt big, do you get glute development from squatting? Yes. I think the better term there would be squatting makes you a better athlete.
Right.
Not a better, bigger butt.
Yes, your glutes will, like any muscle, there's going to be some hypertrophy. So yes, the glute muscle itself will get bigger. But I think an important thing that you have to recognize in that even as you're squatting, if you're trying to develop musculature, even through the glutes, you have to support that nutritionally.
You got to please excuse that intake fan that just popped on. Lauren has it set in the apartment here. Apartment to pop on whenever it gets too cold, I guess. Although it's not that cold.
The way...
Well, 75 degrees is cold for Lauren, okay. So...
68 is what it's set on, buddy, so relax.
All right, sorry to cut you off. Continue that thought.
I lost it now. I lost my train of thought because you came in talking about the exhaust fan.
But you were talking about butts. Squatting and bigger butts. Go ahead.
I pretty much nailed talked it. About it.
All right, you nailed it.
Did you miss that much?
No, not at all, but you nailed it.
Okay.
I do appreciate that. That's good. So you've been squatting for how long now, Lore? Correctly. Let's go with correctly? Squatting correctly. Well, squatting that we know as correct. What Kings of Fitness believes is correct.
I don't know, a few years?
Few years. So we've been hitting it.
I don't have a tremendous butt.
Okay, there we go.
I do have a very athletic shape.
Okay.
Do I have a big old booty? No.
How would we find out if you're lying to us?
I wish I wasn't lying to you.
Instagram. You can see us doing like our squat technique, and we squat every week. We might squat 2 times a week, I believe.
Yeah.
And then if you throw in the Olympic lifting.
Probably more than that. Yeah. I'd say at least 3 times a week. And yes, I'm a very petite individual, I guess we can say.
So you can check us out again on the social medias. Tune into what we're doing. You can see how we try to hit squat depths and what we're doing. And like I said, the variations of squats help out too. Where right. You can see how deep you're squatting. And I'm talking about squatting deep. I'm going to tell you, I guess I would go into it. Myth number 8 is squatting slow. And squatting slow, I don't think you need to squat slow per se as much as be controlled. Control your motion.
Right. You don't want to let yourself flop down to the ground.
Yeah. National Academy of Sports Medicine has a great example of when you're going into eccentric loading, 4 seconds. Concentric motion, 2 seconds. So the eccentric motion for the squat is as you lower your body to the ground, you're going to eccentrically load your system, and then you're going to contract everything as you're coming up. So talk about the major motions. You're going to get that hip extension when you come up off the ground. So when you contract those glutes, and we talk about the concentric motion of the glutes, 2 seconds, right? So going down 4 seconds, up 2 seconds. But again, you could do 1 second. 1 second, speed in squatting, I always associate with athleticism, right? So it's not that you got to be super fast, but I'd say controlled speed, second squats, 2 second squats, kind of things like that can help with explosiveness as long as you're hitting the ranges of motion. Because again, and we said it earlier in the podcast, half squat is only going to get you half the result. So getting back to squatting low, my thing is rather than squat slow, squat full range of motion, squat low, which your low could be very different from my low, depending on, like, I watch the Chinese lifters, the weightlifters in China, weightlifters in, like, Bulgaria and Russia. These guys, they squat really lower than I squat, and they got 400, 500 pounds on their back, and they're squatting real low.
Mm-hmm.
And they are not hurt. That's the thing. They don't. You might see knee braces on people, and by knee braces, you see knee sleeves, and everybody associates that with a knee brace. A knee sleeve is to keep the joint warm. It gives you a little structural integrity by putting a little bit of compression in the area, but it's not the same as what I see somebody walking around with rotation in the tibia and rotation in the femur when they're walking around with those big knee braces needing surgeries and stuff like that. So those are two different things too. So basically, when we lay it all out there, right, squatting is super important. And I mean, we could probably talk for hours about why squatting is so important, but we really wanted to concentrate this podcast on squatting myths in general and why people get so crazy about the squat. And down the road, we'll probably have we'll do a podcast on deadlift myths as well, because everybody always thinks these things hurt. And when we do our initial assessments. Our initial assessment, one of the movement assessments we do end up doing is a squat assessment, which helps us choose muscle imbalances in different shapes, forms, fashions kind of thing. And when we see those muscle imbalances, it helps us correct everything for the athlete that they get the effects of. The worst thing you can get out there is trying to work out a muscle and you're working out something totally different. You're not going to hit your goal attainment. You'll see that you're not doing anything. Like I'll always go back to it. Full range of motion is going to equal the best athlete on the field. The guy who can squat low, the guy who can deadlift the best, the guy who can bench press the best in good form, all this other stuff, you know, they become pretty decent athletes to start. And then you throw them in with their sport-specific coaches, their basketball coaches, their baseball coaches, and you give them something to go with. So don't shy away from the squats. It's a dangerous method. And I wouldn't even say squatting one time a week is enough. I think squatting is super important. I look at Olympic weightlifters, and I can talk on it because, again, we train Olympic lifting. But Greg Everett, who is a big-time Olympic lifter, has the book out for Olympic lifting, and you can look him up anywhere and everywhere. We'll put some of his stuff in the show notes as well. I think there's a squat every day. His program.
I'm pretty sure there is.
You know, you're pretty much squatting every day.
Yeah, I mean, it's different variations of squats.
Yeah, and changing the load. So just like, you know, changing barbell heights and changing, you know, loads where you're going to load that barbell, whether it's an overhead squat, a front squat, back squat high, back squat low, Zerker squats. There's a whole bunch of different squats out there, goblet squat that we talked about, that loads your body differently and requests different kind of production out of your body. So when you're doing all that stuff and you're concentrating on loading and getting the best out of your body, squats are going to be super important. And we, you know, let's talk on hormones, squatting and hormones real quick. So this has nothing to do with the myths, but you talk about getting changes in your body. Squatting is related to that hormone, those releasing the best hormones for your body to get changes. So just a little tidbit, good way to start your program. And I mean, our athletes, you know, we go through a warm up and then I hit them with a squat. Or, you know, it's warm-up squat. It might be warm-up, you know, some crazy drills, some strength drills and stuff like that. And then we hit them at the end with a squat. But somewhere in their program, they're going to be getting a squat, especially in the session. And I hear it, and it's so funny. You get somebody who works with us for 2-3 sessions. On the third session, they're going to say, oh, I know it's coming, because we load it pretty good. Wendler's, we use the variation of Wendler's 5-3-1. So always, you know, give it up to what's already out there. We don't have to break the mold here. You know, we don't have to reinvent the wheel here. It's been done. And these athletes that are out there now, they're doing it, and they're doing it great. They're doing it so well. So let's mimic the guys who are doing it so well. Let's follow training programs of the people who are really kicking butt and taking names. Because if you're kicking butt and taking names, you know, why wouldn't I want to be more like that? Well, and that's what I preach.
Kick butt and take names.
You kind of do. You know, Lauren's getting ready for first competition, June.
Yeah.
Right? June? June's going to come up fast. I'll tell you, from now to June, she's going to be squatting a lot.
Yes, I am.
Right? What'd you get your squat max up to recently? I guess you didn't do a one rep, but you're doing five reps and stuff like that.
Yeah, we did the five rep, and I think the extrapolation was like 175, 180 from my one rep max. 175,
180. Lauren weighs about 110 pounds, yeah. So she's back squatting a good percentage there. And then what's your front squat? Do you know that off the top of your head? You got that up there too because you cleaned your body weight. So she's cleaning right around 105 pounds. So that's a coming out of the clean technique. So when you clean technique, you're catching this weight on the bottom and you're standing up. And I would say that's probably 70%, 75% of what you can front squat traditionally. Huh. So you're probably front squatting, what, 135, 140-ish?
Maybe.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe we'll find out when we get back to training.
Let you know on the next podcast.
That's right. And then special shout out. We're gonna close this guy up. But I wanted to give a special shout out to my new product. The Slingshot.
Oh,
we talked about it earlier. My new product, the Slingshot for bench press improvement. So I know squatting had nothing to do with talking about bench pressing, but I will say Mark Bell's Slingshot is quite impressive. Again, I'm not typically the big bench press guy where I sit where I can load on. I admire what goes on the social medias when I see some of these power lifters and strongmen doing the things that they can do. It's amazing to watch it. So this was a product I saw them using, and I said, let me try it out. I want to see if it helps me out. I don't know the last time I repped 315 the way I was doing it yesterday. And yesterday it felt like a warm-up, like I was just trying to try something out. So I was doing 315 for doubles. Didn't have a spotter, but I felt really safe. You know, Lauren went out. Where'd you go? Oh, you went to the chiropractor. Yeah. Lauren went out to the chiropractor, told me she was going to come back to spot me. Never That's showed up.
A lie.
Never showed up, guys. So if you want to call in and tell Lauren that good spotters are always there, I would really appreciate it because what's that phone number? You know the phone number? Phone number is 260-786-5631. You don't have to call in and tell Lauren that she's a bad spotter for not coming back and helping me out. But we do want you to call in with your questions and anything that you want to hear on the podcast or you want to hear our opinions on. Let us know. You know, we're looking for comments and feedback and all that fun stuff. So get a hold of us. You can call us. You can reach us on Facebook. You can reach us on Instagram. I would say follow Lauren on Instagram as well as we both have Instagram accounts, Kings of Fitness. And Lauren is at @LBAT_KingsOfFitness. We'll put it in the show notes. She puts up food, though. And that's 80% of the battle, that nutrition stuff. And I'll tell you again, you know, if you're eating right, you feed the beast. And Mike Dolce.
Feed the beast.
Well, you feed the beast. You know, if you're out there and you're doing what you need to do, you feed the beast. And Mike Dolce says, make calories count, don't count calories. Mm-hmm. And I repeat that all the time. I throw his name out there and put the quotations around it because, again, I never said it.
It's true. Because I can't even tell you how many times I get asked how many calories you eat in the day.
Yeah. I don't care.
I don't know.
Well, it's not that I don't know. I really don't care.
I have a pretty good
I'll tell you one thing. I don't go hungry.
No.
I don't go hungry, and I don't let Lauren go hungry, because when Lauren gets hungry, it is unbelievable.
All right.
It is watch out. So 110 pounds of anger. So check out Lauren on Instagram, because she puts those tidbits up of food. Sign up for the newsletter, www.kofhv.com. On the newsletter, you will see weekly on Wednesdays. There will be some kind of health food recipe in there. I hate to call it health food because it's just good food.
It's good food.
Yeah, it's just good
food. Nutritious food.
Health food has that unfortunate connotation that it tastes like junk. So, yeah. Or it tastes like crap, we should say, because junk food tastes great. Ooh.
All right.
Okay, it doesn't taste... it's delicious. Anyhow. Stay tuned. We're going to have some more podcasts coming at you again. We're going to fire these things off fast and furious. So episode number 5 will be coming at you shortly. If you have an idea what you want to hear for episode 5, get it into us. If I like it and Lauren likes it, we'll knock that out as quick as possible. All right? Love talking to you guys. Tony Stark, Chihuahua, sitting on Lauren's lap for the last 40 minutes.
So well behaved.
Falling asleep. A red-haired Chihuahua falling asleep, and he's signing off for us.
We'll see you later. He's a handsy little devil.